Welcome everybody to a brand
Woohoo!
new season of Hoops HD of college basketball. It is the start of the 2024-2025 preseason podcasts. Our very first one recording here on Monday, October 14th, and this is our Big Ten preview show. I'm your host up top here, Chad Sherwood, joined unfortunately by David Griggs on one side,
I'm here.
fortunately by John Tytel on the other. Also, fortunately, we've got John Stalica below me and his sides, David Dorman, and joining us back again from bracketeer.org,
Do I really
the
have to
one and
put up with
only
Chad for the
Rocco
next
Miller.
6 months? Hey, all right.
You're done, Griggs?
Yes, for
Okay.
now, yes.
Okay. Like I said, this is our Big Ten preview show, and we are a little bit rusty here, I think, in these podcasts, so forgive us for this being like, way more unprofessional than our normally unprofessional shows are. But let's start the Big Ten with, of course, the well I guess well, let's start off this way here. The preseason polls came out today. The AP preseason poll came out, and the highest rated Big Ten team also happened to be the team that was played in the national championship game last year. Of course, we're talking about the Purdue Boilermakers. And Rocco, why don't I start right in with you on this Purdue team this year, and what you think about them, especially without Zach Edey, but a lot of other very good parts back.
Yeah, a lot of very good parts back. I know Purdue Nation is very high on Trey Kaufman-Wren to fill in at the five spot. Now, I think the issue there versus what we're used to seeing is he's about 6 inches shorter than Zach Edey. But I think he's a heck of a ball player, great rebounder, and he's looking forward to seeing a minutes uptick and being a key part of this whole system working. You look at guys like Braden Smith, who's a tremendous prep passer, preseason player of the year, 7.5 assists per games last year, alongside Fletcher Loyer, and really not dependent on incoming transfers, and they have some upside freshmen, including 7'4". Of course, you have to have 7-footers on Purdue. Daniel Jacobson coming in. Who knows how raw or ready he'll be right off the bat, but also third year in the program is Will Berg at 7'2". He certainly will play quite a bit. So this will still be one of the biggest teams in the Big Ten, no doubt, and I think a very veteran backcourt. I think Purdue's got the highest floor in the league, quite clearly. Just not sure if it's quite enough to win the Big Ten title, but they'll be right up there.
Yeah, let me make a comment and get your thoughts on it here, Rocco, or everyone's. I'm not going to say that losing Zach Edey is not a massive loss and that there isn't a lot to replace there. But when you have a roster like this that is both talented and experienced, and in large part experienced playing together, sometimes when you have that much talent and you lose someone like Zach Edey, it allows them to develop more because suddenly they're more developed and or they're more important and they're more involved than they were before. I'm not going to say there's not going to be any sort of a drop off, but I don't think it's anything that they can't recover from. And I still very much think they're going to be at or near the top of the standings. They're so talented.
Right. Well, I think the pros are the projected top 8 or 9 guys have all been in the
Yeah.
program at least 2 years, most of them 3, 4, 5 years. So that continuity's been there. They've been practicing together for all that time. I think the concerns are the cons, if you will, are outside of Smith and Loyer, nobody's played on average more than 20 minutes a game. In fact, only Cameron Heady and Trey Kaufman-Wren have played anywhere above 10 minutes a game. So a lot of these guys have a lot to prove, but they're
Yeah,
in
they do.
when you're Purdue and Matt Painter's got such a great track record. I think it's the kind of thing that all of us can feel okay about. They're clearly a top 20 good team, and their upside would be to get back to the top five.
Yeah, a better way of saying it would have been when you have guys that are good that are only used to playing 10 or 20 minutes a game that want to play more, they tend to come out hard.
Correct.
Yeah.
Tytel, do you think Purdue is the best team in the Big Ten then, or do you think somebody else is?
I think they are. I think it's also a coin flip in terms of there's these new teams coming in, like UCLA, who I still don't believe, but the pollsters seem to believe. So maybe they know something I don't. And then Illinois seems to be a perennial contender. I'll defer to you for the Scarlet Knights, and it's never wise to bet against Tom Izzo. So losing Zach Edey is massive, both in terms of his height and his game. So I think it's up for grabs.
Yeah, I was just going to say Rocco said that his replacement is 6 inches shorter than him. There's very few people in the entire world who are not at least 6 inches shorter than Zach Edey. So,
Very large man.
It's an achievement, yes.
Yes.
Dorman, let me bring you in here and ask you about a team that I hate to say it, but when I look at the roster, even though they weren't even NCAA tournament last year, the Indiana Hoosiers, they may have something this year. Do you think they do?
I do think they do. They're going to bring in the big man up front. He was in Arizona the last few years, Omar Ballo. He is a huge, strong individual. He's an intense, fiery player. I love his energy on the court. I think his teammates really like him. So down low, Indiana's got one of the top front courts in definitely in the Big Ten, if not in the entire nation. They also raided the Pac-12. They took, like I said, Ballo from Arizona, but they also got an all-conference guard, Miles Rice, from Wazzu. Really good, strong guard. I like the way he plays. I think he'll fit in the system real well. And then Kenan Carlisle, he also took from Stanford. So I think Indiana has put in some really nice pieces after losing a few to the NBA. They had some prospects there, Trice Jackson up front, most notably. But I think with Ballo and these big guys up front, and if they can get some good guard play and they can score the ball, yeah, I think Indiana will be up one of the few top three or four teams in the Big Ten this year.
Stalika, do you think there's somebody else up there also with Indiana and Purdue that you're looking at?
It's going to be tough to say. I look at a team like Illinois, for example, that was mentioned as a possible contender. They were in the Elite Eight last year, but they also hit the reset button as they were. They do have a couple freshmen in Will Riley and Morris Johnson are going to be coming in. But if we're looking at guys who are getting out of the transfer portal, Ben Humerkes coming from Evansville and Trey White coming from Louisville. However, I do think Brad Underwood thinks they're going to have a great team because they did test themselves in the non-conference nonetheless. They got neutral court games against Alabama down in Birmingham. They got Arkansas and Kansas City on Thanksgiving. And then they also play Tennessee and Missouri.
Yeah, Tytel, you mentioned Illinois earlier, and it's fascinating that seven of their top eight players are gone from the Elite Eight team. But I think when you look at the talent on the roster, I kind of agree with Stalika.
This is why I'm a big believer in Coach Underwood. I wasn't sure at first, but he's grown on me and seems to get his team in contention every year. He's bringing in all these transfers, including Kylan Boswell from my Wildcats. So I still think that it's Purdue's league to lose, but I think the Illini are right there.
And Griggs, what about the other team that's already been mentioned once here? I think is UCLA. Mick Cronin coming into the Big Ten, stealing Kobe Johnson from USC. And what are your thoughts on his team and their shots at being near the top of the conference?
I like it. I don't know about the very top, but I kind of like them more than some of the teams we've talked about. They weren't the highest in the polls. I think some of that might have to do with the familiarity of them. They were pretty good last year. They have four starters back. You know that they're going to be very strong defensively. And I just think that if you look at Mick Cronin throughout his career, he's one of those coaches that has a tendency to outperform the preseason expectations. If you look at some of the transfers that they have, I think that they fit into that defensive mold. They're not always going to be like easy on the eyes to watch, but I think they're going to win a lot of games. And one of the things is if you're not used to playing against UCLA and you're not familiar with them, they're kind of hard to figure out. I could see a lot of teams in the Big Ten not quite knowing what to do with them the first year out of the gate. That's a lot of words to say. I really like UCLA. They'd be my second place pick. I like them a lot.
Yeah, Rocco, how about those Bruins? And are they, I guess Griggs would say they're the best of the four new teams. Do you agree with that, or do you think a team like Oregon might even be better than them?
I think they're, yeah, I think on paper, UCLA just slightly, in my opinion, has the edge. They really invested. NIL is much different going into this year than last year. They were the roster last year was dependent on a lot of European, very talented guys, just not ready for college basketball. The physicality, big adjustment for a lot of European players. This year, they've loaded up on proven college players. Looks like Dom Harris will be finally admitted into UCLA. I'm guessing winter quarter, so he might miss the first few games, but he was the best shooter in the WCC at LMU, 45% from deep. He's just a depth guy to start the year and probably pretty critical later in the season. Guy like Sky Clark was a five-star player, gets a fresh start playing for Mick Cronin, coming out of a horrible Louisville program. And you got a lot of the guys that Griggs talked about with Dylan Andrews, Sebastian Mack, Lazar Stefanovic, who's been around a long time. So they're older. They have better scorers. And, of course, Mick's going to teach them defense and rebounding. We'll see. But, I also like the other team in L.A. I'm a lot higher on
really?
Them than most people. But it's also it's a mystery train because you've got
Rock, it's just the Big players. Ten tonight. We're not going to get into LMU until later.
There you go.
I thought we were talking about Cal State Los Angeles, but
or CSLA, yes,
Northridge.
Yeah. But Rocco, I want to stick with you then because I wasn't going to bring up USC for about another 15-20 minutes because I just didn't see anything there. But I'd like you to sell us on the Trojans.
Well, I mean, you're talking about an extremely old team. Seven grad transfers. Everybody's brand new, including.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a new team, but okay.
Yeah, and you've got a St. Thomas guy that went off at Northern Colorado last year. Obviously, he has to make a big jump to the Big Ten. But Terrence Williams was a proven player at Michigan. Desmond Claude is probably going to be their go-to guy from Xavier, a tremendous player in the Big East. You've got Egbo, who they basically robbed from Boise State. If Egbo was still at Boise State, I was ready to put them in my top 25/30. That's a huge loss for the Broncos and a huge gain for the Trojans. Josh Cohen was a big-time scorer in the Atlantic 10. I mean, they are loaded. Bryce Pope was my favorite point guard in the Big West last year. So, yeah, they're coming from varying levels of college basketball, but all very sharp players. I think they'll be a high IQ bunch. I think Musselman's better when he's early out of school. I think by the time he got to year four at Arkansas, he had worn out his welcome. But look what he did in his first 3 years. Sweet 16, two Elite Eights. I mean, this team is very much capable of getting that far. And there's no doubt in my mind. It's just a matter of how fast they'll click. And they're working on
that. If you look
at
Musselman's career at Nevada and Arkansas, people just can't seem to take more than 2 or 3 years of him. So
correct, yeah. Well, I think the problem is you're bringing in 10, 11 new guys over here. This is his style. But when it's new to you, there tends to be a lot of buzz and a lot of continuity. And I think – I haven't even brought up a star, Wesley Yates, that is their youngest player. I mean, this team is absolutely loaded 1 through 11 in talent. I think the hardest thing will be to narrow it down to 8 or 9 guys.
And the only reason the Mus bus actually parked in USC is because Andy Enfield did a surprise stage right exit to SMU, which we'll get into in a later podcast.
Mm-hmm. Dorman, let me go back to you, because if we're talking about, if we at least look at the preseason rankings, the next team we should bring up is my Scarlet Knights. And I'm a little biased, so I don't want to sit here and talk about Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper and guys like Tyson Acuff for the whole show. But why don't I throw it over to somebody else and your thoughts on this, another new group, younger group than USC has, but looks like there's tons of talent here.
And Rutgers, yes. I'm with you, Chad. I'm joining the party there out in New Jersey. I know they've made the tournament a few times in the last few years, but I think they really have something coming up here with Rutgers. I love Dylan Harper. I heard he's going to be everything and then some. I think him and Ace Bailey together form a duo that in the Big Ten will be as good as you can find. I really do. I see Rutgers making a big statement right away this year in the Big Ten. I love the home court advantage they get there at home. They got some big games. I know they're going to play one of their games. I think they gave up to the Palestra, but there's some big games at home. I think the place will be rocking. I think the excitement is at an all-time high there for Rutgers basketball, and I really like Harper and Bailey a lot.
The guy that I'm looking at, and I know Rocco, he's a guy that I'm sure you'd probably know a lot about, is Acuff coming over from Eastern Michigan, where he led the MAC in scoring last year. I think this could be the key. If he could hit the outside shots, that could be the key to the team. But
Yeah,
Sorry,
I
I put
mean, you're
somebody out
probably
front.
right.
Sorry.
I just have a hard time trusting a guy that was playing for one of the worst teams in the MAC and going to a loaded Big Ten and
Hey, wait. What happened with Cam Spencer going from a mediocre Patriot League team to Rutgers, where he was great, to a national championship at UConn?
So he's
What
2 years away from
so yeah, so
UConn?
he's 2 years away from UConn, is what you're
Well,
saying.
UConn can have
That's
him
what he
next
said.
year. We got him this year.
I like Durkac a lot though at from Merrimack. I got to cover them last year. He was the player of the year
Yeah.
in the league. And I think what most people don't understand is he's going to be a great fit for Pikul with his defense. He's also defensive player of the year, and he's going to be their on-ball stopper. So I think, there's going to be a lot of flash and flare that Rutgers is not used to. That'll be a lot of fun for you, Chad. But I also think the
I'm
key will
excited.
be the old school Pikul way of getting stops late. So I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, Rutgers was going to be like one of my sleeper picks, but they started off the AP poll came out today. They're in it, number 25. I don't think you can call a top 25 team a sleeper, so.
No, you can't. Tytel, when I was go to look at the Big Ten this season, this is one team that I don't know if they're good or not, and maybe you could answer this question for me. Ohio State, I'm very mystified by this team heading into the season.
So 22 wins last year. Jake Diebler took over for Holtman. Now he is the guy. The non-conference schedule is kind of brutal. Texas, A&M, Pitt, Auburn, and Kentucky. As far as additions, they get an all-SEC player in Michi Johnson from South Carolina, a three-time all-SoCon guy in Quest Glover, and then Micah Parrish from the Aztecs. They did lose a lot of guys. Roddy Gale Jr., Jameson Battle, Zed Key, Felix O'Para. So I don't know if they can get it done immediately. They do return a third-team all-conference point guard in Bruce Thornton, so it's great to have a returning guy at the point. I think they can win 20 games. I don't think they can win the conference title this year, but I think they will maybe sneak into March Madness, but too early to tell.
Well, you mentioned
Okay.
Ronnie Gale Jr. They didn't just lose him. They lost him up north to Michigan.
Ooh,
Ooh.
that's I'm a little slow on the others.
Yeah. Oh.
I gotta learn these buttons still for the year, but Slick, actually, let me stick with you. Those of us that actually had a chance to watch one or two preseason games already, so things all has been played. May have seen a little bit of Michigan State yesterday. And how about Tom Izzo's group? How do you think they're going to fare this season?
Well, this is another team that barely got into the NCAA tournament last year and also
A
was
nine
basically
seed, a
hitting
nine
the
seed. That was not as
barely
barely as
got a
some other
nine
teams.
seed, but there were some questions as to whether or not they were going to make the field, although I think our committee probably did the right thing and included them in. They're going to have a couple notable freshmen in Jace Richardson and Kurt Tang that are going to be part of the roster this year, but the only real notable returners that I could remember would be Xavier Booker, Jaden Akins, and I think you also had Frankie Fiddler, who transferred in from Nebraska, Omaha, who's going to give them a little bit of a scoring punch. Although I think, as you pointed out, one of the reasons they did go to Northern Michigan for the exhibition was because that is where Tom Izzo spent his college days, and they actually retired his number.
Yeah,
Can I chime in here, Chad, a second?
Go ahead. On the Sparty, go ahead.
I think Izzo really likes this team, and I think Izzo likes to be under the radar. I don't think he likes when all the acclimates are made about him and all the McDonald's All-Americans. This is a different type team for Izzo. First of all, he wasn't a big fan of the portal and the NIL to start. He took, I believe, in one transfer in the last 4 years. Before this year. This year, he took in two. I think this team is much more talented. I agree with Salika. Those two freshmen he brought in are really good, really talented, the defensive-minded, great players. And then a few more guys that I also believe are mentioned. Booker, Cohen Carr, and Jeremy Fears. I think these guys really break out, and they're better than they've shown in the past. I think last year had some players that are now gone that didn't help necessarily the team as a whole. I think this Michigan State team is better than most people think.
Yeah, I think Xavier Booker is poised for a monster year this year.
Me too.
Tytel, we talked about some of the Pac-12 teams coming in. How about one more of them? And the Oregon Ducks, another team full of transfers.
Quack quack, 24 wins last year. They lost to Creighton by two in the second round of the tourney. So they were this close to being in the Sweet 16. Added a lot of talent. An all-MAC player in Raheem Moss from Toledo, Brandon Angel from Stanford, TJ Bomber from Villanova, Supreme Cook from Georgetown, because who wouldn't want to add a Hoya? They lost several key guys. Jermaine Bouchard, Paul Mario Okendo. So the new guys will have room to step right in. They do bring back all freshman shooting guard Jackson Shellstad. So I think there's going to be a little drop off just because they lost a lot of great guys. But I think that 20 wins is a possibility. And again, like the Buckeyes, maybe sneak into the tournament, but not convinced just yet.
Rocco, first of all, are you still with us?
I'm here, yes. Sorry, I played the options here.
Yeah, I think we lost your video, but I know you are a Washington alum, and I want to, and you have a great transfer this year. what about your team?
No doubt. Well, I'm excited. I mean, Danny Sprinkle's been to the last three NCAA tournaments, so that's a great place to start. And in a league this big, 18 teams, I think the teams that are going to disappoint are going to be typically at places where a coach may have worn out his welcome 3-4 years or more, a roster that's just not coming together. And I think the really good signs early on is not only with a great player like Great Osabor himself, but also DJ Davis is a lights out shooter from Butler. Mekhi Mason's going to be a really important player coming over from Rice. Tyler Harris is a freak athlete from Portland. So there's some guys here that not only are going to be good pieces for Sprinkle to work with, but also just a lot of great personalities. And so I think they're just going to keep building and improving. It's hard to set an expectation because I think they're entering just a brutal league here, probably towards the bottom on most people's radar. But I think they can climb, you know, if everything works out, they can climb close to that top 10 if everything clicks. And of course, I think the biggest story of the league is, you know, obviously Washington, Oregon, USC, UCLA will have to take four full road trips to the East Coast between there and the Central. But it's really broken down to four trips. So it's two games per trip. And then out of all the other teams, they got to come out and play Oregon, Washington back-to-back or both LAs back-to-back. And I think that could create a really good home court advantage for the Huskies and the Ducks for that matter. So I'm really curious to see how that plays out, because if you can get to 500 in this league, I think there's a pretty good chance you can get in.
Griggs, we've gone through 10 teams already. Haven't even discussed a perennial power that was a 5 seed last year. How about the Badgers?
Yeah, they're not a lot of preseason love for the Badgers. In fact, it's alarmingly low. You mentioned that they were a 5 seed. This is another team that always seems to outperform its expectations. You wonder why their preseason expectations are routinely as low as they are. I believe they have two starters back. The roster is turning over some, but when you look at the transfers, no one on the surface, I think, jumps out at you as like a star, but it's a lot of guys that I think fit this system and fit Greg Gard, and I think they're going to do it again. I think they're going to easily be in the top half of the league. I don't know if it's easy, but I think that they will be. I think they're going to be way back inside the bubble. I think they're going to be on the top half of the bracket. I think we're going to see them in the rankings. I don't understand how they're picked as low as they are.
Really? Tytel, do you agree with him about Wisconsin that they're just being overlooked kind of? It's hard to imagine that, but
yes, I mean, there's a lot to talk about in this conference, as you're well aware. And like when your best newcomers are Cam Hunter and Xavier Amos, like it's hard to get too excited considering these other schools are bringing in like top guys from top 25 programs and stuff. I think that they're certainly in the mix, but like Rocco mentioned, like he says how Washington might be able to wake its way in the top 10. Like, I don't know how many teams are getting into the tournament in this conference. We usually save that for the end, which you certainly can, but like, what if, is this something where everybody's going to maul each other and like, there's going to be 15 teams with 10 conference wins?
I always think we're going there with this year. We haven't quite gone there, but we could have, I think the Big Ten could lead all conferences in the most bids by a lot, but maybe not have any, but maybe only have one team that's a top 4 seed at the same time. Dorman, let me throw another team over at you here that I'm keeping an eye on. It may not be who Griggs is thinking of.
No, it is. It's his home city's team. It is.
Okay, if you want to go that way, we'll go that way. Okay, Dorman, how about Northwestern? Then we'll go to the team I was thinking of.
Well, who the hell are you talking about?
I was going to go somewhere else, but let's go Life After Boo Booey.
Booey is finally gone, and it's a loss because I can easily say he's one of the greatest players to play in the program. He was just awesome. He was a great teammate. The coaches loved him. The city loved him. But also Northwestern under Chris Collins, they're going to bring back more minutes. So more experience really played last year than any other team in the Big Ten. Playing with Boo Booey last year, Brooks Barnheiser, he was really strong. He was really good. Scored about 15 points a game. They're going to lean on him to score. He's got to put those numbers up again because Boo Booey has got to be replaced. Nick Martinelli, also another guy they're going to count on to step up, scored about 9 to 10 points last year. And they're bringing in two freshmen that Collins is really high on. One kid I saw play from Chicago is Angelo Ciravano, really big-time athlete, and they're going to count on him right away. The other is KJ Windham, who they're really high on also. He's coming in from Indianapolis. But I think Chris Collins really has something going in Northwestern. I am not doubting this program anymore. Last year I said it was the bottom of the conference. I don't think so. I know how big of a loss Boo Booey is, but I think Collins puts these pieces together and has a real nice team this year.
Rocco, before I go again, before I go to the team I was going to go to earlier, I know you've been a big follower of Dusty May over the last few years here. Now here he is coming into the Big Ten, taking over at Michigan. He's got Vlad Goldin there. What about the Wolverines this year?
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a lot of fun. You got Danny. You got Danny Wolf coming with Vlad Goldin, two seven-footers, both projected to be on the court together quite often. And you know, for those that don't watch a lot of Ivy League ball like Chad and I, Danny Wolf is actually a really good outside player. He'll be on the perimeter quite a bit, and Vlad can still own the paint. It's gonna be pretty exciting because the way that they can effectively both screen and roll. I mean, it's going to just free up guys like Namari Burnett, who did stick around. You also got Roddy Gale Jr. coming in from Ohio State, a little rivalry transfer there, and Trey Donaldson in the fold from Auburn. There's a lot of talent. Reuben Jones was a great North Texas player. He's projected to be in the mix for starting as well. And I was a big fan of the way Sam Walters offensive rebounded at Alabama. I got to cover them alongside John Tytel at the Western Regional last year. I thought he was kind of an unsung hero during different crucial stretches of their North Carolina win, that Sweet 16 game. So yeah, I love all the pieces they've built. It's a great staff. You know, my buddy Kyle Church is now running. He's basically their GM. Running NIL there. He was a finalist for the FAU head job. And then some of the hires they made, they got one of St. Mary's best assistant coaches in Coach Joyner. I just love all the different pieces they're putting together, and I really trust Dusty. I feel pretty confident that they'll be a tournament team, and I've actually got them finishing third.
Wow, third. That's higher than I've heard for them. But, hey, Tytel. I'll be throwing a team here that I was about to mention earlier. I think this may be a surprise team to be in the mix, not for the top of the conference, but for a tournament bid. What about the Terrapins?
Are you drunk? Go ahead, Tytel.
He's just buzzed, not drunk. So, I mean, when you bring in a guy like Derek Queen, McDonald's All-American, potential lottery pick, I think that elevates your program, obviously. They bring back Julian Reese, who's still not as good as his sister Angel, sadly, but he's still a great double-double guy. Selton Miguel from South Florida, Jacoby Gillespie from Belmont, a lot of nice pieces. Not sure if they can bring it all together immediately, but I think Queen is the real deal. And with Reese opposite him, I don't think he's going to get double teamed that much. So I think that they have a lot of nice pieces, but again, so much talent in this league. I'm not ready to elevate them in the postseason just yet.
Greg, they also just lost a scrimmage to Georgetown. if you care about scrimmages.
Okay, I retract everything good I ever said about Maryland.
I didn't know we were going there.
Mr. Griggs, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, I know you don't like talking about them ever since Tim Miles left, but what about them this season? They were in the tournament last year.
Yeah, they were. And I think that they're being a little undervalued. I don't know if they get back inside the bubble this year, but I at least think that they have a chance. You know, Underwood's doing a really good job there. They have some pieces. I'm trying to continue to waste time as I find my notes on Nebraska here. I don't know where.
Yeah, we're going deep because I don't think we're anywhere near the NCAA tournament at this point,
Right, yeah. But they are in a little
but
bit of a rebuild
that's Fred
mode.
Hoiberg, by
Yeah.
the way, not Brad Underwood, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, like I need my notes. That is Fred Hoiberg. Three starters are back from that team. I think they're being undervalued a little bit, but I don't know if I think they're good enough to finish in the top half of the conference and get back inside the bubble this year.
I got three teams we haven't discussed yet. Let me Dorman, let me start with you. Iowa. Anything there in this very young team?
I think you do have a few nice pieces there.
Okay.
Price Sanford said no to the NBA after he tested the waters a little there. I think he's a big time talent. They'll start with him. He's going to have to score a lot. They played a lot of freshmen last year. So, as everyone knows, the best thing about freshmen is they go up and they become sophomores. So, Queen Freeman last year, Quinn Fre Owen Freeman, I'm sorry, last year's Big Ten Freshman of the Year, also coming back. So, I think McCaffrey has some nice players here. I think I was almost being undervalued a little in the Big Ten. I could see that. I think a good year would be middle of the conference, but I think this team has some nice players. And if Price Sanford breaks out and becomes a big time stud, they can hang around the middle of the conference.
Rocco, Penn State has the majority of a 16-win team back, but I don't know that I can say much more about them this year. But
I
unless you want to
think
pick them fourth, the way you've been picking, you might have them up there.
I think I'm higher on them than most. I've actually
Yeah.
got them up to 12th, but
Okay.
and I think most people are putting them 16 to 18. And I think great chance to remind everybody that only the top 15 teams out of the 18 will make it to the Big Ten tournament. So a team like Penn State, that's going to be pretty important to get into that, not be in those three teams that get left out. But anytime you're led by a guy like Ace Baldwin, all health concerns are there. But if he can get through the season, he's had some serious ACL injuries in the past. That's a tremendous leader, and he's played for Rhodes for years and years between VCU and now Penn State. And Rhodes can coach. We know
Yeah,
Rhodes
he
can
can.
coach,
Yes, he can.
and that's what makes it tough because these teams are all really talented and really deep. I like Penn State's first nine guys or so. Curran, Hicks, and Baldwin, three starters back. So, we'll see. I just feel like they're a team in year two under Rhodes. He's not really going to be on the hot seat at any point this year. They're just going to keep growing and building, and those are the kind of teams I like because I think that not only are they old, but they're gonna use last year to their advantage to win a few more games.
Tytel, Minnesota Golden Gophers. Anything?
Yes, we can be brief. They brought in a bunch of small-time transfers from small-time schools. They do have the leading
Like
returning scorer
Oregon.
Yeah.
in power forward Dawson Garcia. If he's not double-teamed every night, shame on every single opposing coach because he is their team.
That sounds
So
like a perfect representation of someone from the Travis Steele coaching tree, which, by the way, should be chopped down and thrown into the wood chipper.
I believe an incredibly successful season for Minnesota would be if they make the Big Ten tournament, and that would
Oh,
be
I agree.
incredibly successful season.
Yeah.
On that note, that is 18 teams, and we actually got this done in a decent amount of time, but we're not quite done yet. What I want to do is run through each of you for two questions. Number one, actually three questions. Let's make it. Who's going to win the Big Ten? Number two, how many bids is the league going to get? And if you want to list your teams, you can. If you just want to tell me how many bids, that's fine as well. And number three, any other final thoughts you have about this conference as a whole? And Mr. Stalica, let me start off with you on that.
Well, I think it's going to be easy to say Purdue probably is going to win the conference right here. And number two, I guess to use some Tytel verbiage, I'll probably put the over under at seven teams as far as who's going to make the Big Ten tournament. And as far as a final
Big Ten,
thought,
you mean the
the 15 are
NCAA
making the Big Ten tournament, John.
Right. Yeah, sometimes I wish we could pare it down to seven just for the Big Ten tournament alone, but for purposes of the NCAA, we'll say seven. But as far as a final thought, I do want to mention on a sad note, I think we had Bill Walton pass away during the off season. Sadly, he never got to enjoy at least one go around with some of the locales in the Big Ten. Like he had become a folk hero of sorts in places like Boulder, Colorado, Pullman, Washington, the Bay Area, and Los Angeles. Too bad they'll never get to experience his joy and wisdom in places like Madison, Bloomington, Ann Arbor, and Columbus. So rest in peace.
Yeah, we are definitely gonna miss
Love
him.
Bill Walton. Loved him. A nice, yeah, a nice guy that was nice to, well, he was a celebrity that was nice to everyone, and a lot of celebrities are not like that.
Tytel.
If the over-under is indeed set at 7.5, I will take the over. I think 8 is not a shoe-in, but I feel pretty good about it. I think 10 is a legit possibility. Everybody's going to beat up on each other, but the ones who come out better than 500 in conference are going to have so many quality wins that I think it will just raise their profile up and up and up. I think it's Purdue's conference to lose, but I'm telling you, like, Edie was a generational big man, stud talent. Force, like, they have great guys on the roster, but I think they have to completely change their offense and their defense because he was such an amazing player. So I would not at all be surprised if somebody else comes out of nowhere. As far as a final thought, I think it's just going to be weird to have so much talent in one conference. I'm still not convinced they're the best conference. I'm biased because of the Big 12, but I really can't wait to see Rutgers. I mean, to have a team like that, and by like that, I mean not a perennial like Big Ten champ, bringing in multiple McDonald's All-Americans, like you should be excited, Chad, because like there really is great chances for great things.
We didn't mention it. Number two recruiting class of the entire nation, only
Yeah.
behind Duke, who only got number one because it got a guy named Cooper Flagg, who we're going to be talking about when we do our ACC show quite a bit. But you know what? Let me jump in here real quickly. Give my picks because Tytel, you mentioned 10 teams, and that is my pick. I'm going with 10 teams out of this conference to make the NCAA tournament. I really think with the size of this conference and the fact that we only have, there is no Pac-12 anymore, so they're So those bids have got to be split up among these other conferences. I am going 10 teams here, and I'm going to go against Purdue. I'm going to go a little bit off the track here, I guess. I'm going UCLA to win the regular season
Ooh,
title
good
here.
pick.
I don't know if they're the best team in the
Wow.
conference, but I think that the way things will play up out with the travel issues and everything, everyone having to come there to Southern California. I'm going UCLA. Rocco, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is like this league is hard to pick because you look at the models all off season long and they were, I mean, at one point I think the best team was number 15 in the country and the worst team was 75 or better. That means if we have an 18 team league, every road game, if they can all stay top 75, is a quad one game. I mean, it doesn't even matter where you go. Just get that dang win, and your profile will change pretty quickly. Obviously, we're going to see bloated records on one side or the other. You certainly can't go something like 1-9 on the road. You got to get two or three road wins. We'll get into that as we get into February and March. But I think that's just a kind of a phenomenal stat, just how high the floor is. But then you also don't have like an obvious top 10 team either. So I'm going to draw the line at 8 bids. I think there's certainly a potential to get 9. In fact, I might have to throw a 9th in once I'm done with the rest of the conferences. But those 8 for me are starting with Ohio State. I just keep looking at the team and what Jake Diebler did at the end of last year to get Meechie Johnson back in the portal after a great year at South Carolina. They even have a chance, in my opinion, to win this league. We don't know anything about Jake Diebler except for the fact that he's won at the Breslin Center. He's beat Purdue. I mean, what else do you have to prove in an 11-game sample size? He could be riding a Steve Fisher type of run as the interim coach. And the fact that an athletic department as massive as Ohio State decided to keep him was a huge surprise. So they're seeing something that maybe we can't see yet. And I think that's a good team with upside there. Purdue, of course, getting in. I already talked about Michigan. Michigan State as well, very solid. UCLA, I agree with you, Chad. I've got USC, like I said, and then I'll take Illinois and Oregon as 7th and 8th. And my biggest surprise, I guess, is Indiana firmly on the bubble. I think they're going to be under enormous pressure. I think Paolo playing in a slower system might have some struggles there adapting. But again, Indiana's so dang talented, they can make me look foolish and win the league too. So that's how hard it is to pick.
I agree. Dorman, how about you?
Yeah, I looked up and down trying to find a team I would like to see, trying to see if I could find a team to knock off Purdue. I can't get past the incredible guard play they bring back. Those guys are juniors now in that backcourt, and they're just awesome. So I can't find anyone to beat Purdue. I'm going with Painter's boys. I have nine teams, and I think could be even more. Some of the ones at the bottom, I do think that are going to get in that I think are ready for big years. Michigan, Indiana, Northwestern. I got Rutgers in. I really do. I think big things are happening out there in New Jersey. And my thought is, I understand you guys saying it's tough to go out west and it's going to be a rough place to go play at USC and UCLA. But what I'm really interested to see is these teams, those two teams from LA, and then Oregon and Washington, how this is going to wear on them to have to go to the Midwest and all the way across the country to the East Coast. We're not talking about one trip here, we're talking about four. And I know they're going to go and they're going to play two games like the Pac-12 used to do, and they had partners up. But this is going to be rough. This is going to be a rough situation. We've already seen it in football. The road teams are really struggling sometimes when they have the better talent. I think these road trips might be wearing on these Pac-12 former teams, and I'll be real interested to see how they come out this year with these big road trips.
Griggs, you want to finish the show off?
Dorman, if you're implying that you think it's hard for teams to win on the road, I agree. I don't know if you've ever heard me say that before or not, but that is one of my measuring sticks. I'll start with the over/under question. I think I'm going to go with nine. I'm not sure which nine. My pick to win is Purdue. I do have two final thoughts. The first being, when you look at the Big Ten and you look at a lot of the roster turnover, a lot of the incoming rosters are packed with talent, but it's so many new players that aren't used to playing together yet. And what we've seen in the transfer portal era, so to speak, is that teams in November and December that have more continuity, generally speaking, are more built for wins sooner. Some of the teams, like last year, a lot of the mid-level teams, James Madison comes to mind, some of the Ivy League teams come to mind, that were just better and hard to beat. And is the Big Ten going to be firing on all cylinders for the out-of-conference portion of the season? And one of the things that you have to do, or that certainly separates you in the committee room, as we've seen, is did you beat a team above the bubble away from home? When you look at who gets in and who gets out on the bubble, that's a big indicator. I think that was a big reason Virginia got selected. They beat Florida, I think, the first or second day of the year. Well, these teams aren't going to be as good the first or second day of the year as they're going to be when they get in the conference play. And are they going to have, or is everybody going to be able to win at the caliber that's going to get 11, 12 teams into the field? I don't know. My second thought is that this is a big roster. They've added the four Big 12 teams to get out to 18. And I think it was a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to try and rebuild the status and respect of this conference. I just don't think it's there. And it's never going to be as good as it was when Tim Miles
That's enough. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I knew it was going there. This has been our Big Ten preview show. Keep an eye out on the website. Check out the season preview tab up top there. You see all of John Tytel's great interviews. You're seeing the write-ups that David Griggs is doing, Media Day reviews, and you'll see all our other podcasts that we're going to be recording here for all the conferences. But on behalf of David Griggs, John Tytel, John Stalica, David Dorman, Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org, and watch him on the Field of 68 podcast this year as well, if I'm correct. I'm
Watch
Chad
him at Hoops
Sherwood.
HD too.
And at Hoops HD, you
Yes,
watch him everywhere, and
he's
you, every game you go to, I guarantee you'll be there as well. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.